bit of grading, just to, we got to maintain the we don't have any super steep roads. We're working on balancing the earthwork. I think we're about there on the grading. And we also have to make sure that, you know, stormwater detention, we've got to grade everything to one point so it gets detained by a detention pond. Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, no storage. Yeah. There's plenty of storage nearby. So, yeah.
Kind of what's the time frame on the building this?
Last month. I mean, he really wants to get going. I mean, this, I know he's, we've already gotten tentative approval from the city of Branson on the sewer connection. We've been working with Public Water Supply District number 3 on the design for the water system as well. It will require a main relocation or main extension because there's only a, I think it's a, I want to say it's a two, it's either a 2-inch or a 4-inch. So we, and it's a 4-inch, and we have to extend a, basically a, put a fire hydrant at the entrance for fire protection. And we've been working with Western Taney County as well on that to make sure we're meeting their requirements. But yeah, you can see the topo. Obviously, it's better as you're closer to Bee Creek, but it drops off. It, we kind of have a tiered approach on the site plan, so the site, the roads drop down, and then there's a lower level. And we're putting detention basically at the edge of the property on the east side before it leaves the property.
What's your contour level there?
That's 2 foot. Yeah, those are 2 foot contours.
Any other questions for the applicant? Why don't we go ahead and get open up the public hearing part. So
thank you.
Those that have signed up to speak for this application, do you have a game plan of who wants to go first or no? If not, we'll just start over this way if it's all right. Ma'am, you want to be first?
Yep. My name's Andrea Turner. I live at 151 Deerfield Lane, just south of this property. And the reason I showed up to this hearing tonight is was mainly to gather information. I just kind of found out the new plan this morning. A year ago, as he said, you know, it was 54 buildings or 52. So I just came to hear what he had to say so I can process it before the Taney County Commission hearing. The reason I'm speaking is just to show that myself and my neighbors still have major concerns over passage of anything other than R1 for this property. To my neighbors and myself, it's not simply about the number of buildings someone puts on a site plan. It's all the things that come along with the differences between R1 and R2, and the fact that once a property gets rezoned, that rezoning stays with that property, you know, for the new owners. If anything would happen, if this plan would fall through, he would sell the property, it would, he got approval, it'd stay R2, and the, could that person then come in and just automatically run with, you know, whatever's allowed up to that R2, whereas he's gone down to 35 buildings from 52, or that's great. There's a lot of land in this county that's had some really good plans for it, and then for one reason or another, it sits still empty. And even though this is my fourth planning and zoning hearing regarding this property, I've yet to become an expert at your jobs. So I will leave this to you. I kind of get how this goes, what you're looking for, the boxes you're checking. you didn't have a problem with it, you know, the last time. So, you know, barring what you've learned tonight, I expect the same outcome, but I thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else on this side that signed up to speak?
My name is Ron Martin, and I've lived on Beet Creek since 86, at the very bottom of the hill, and I could care less what they build on that property. I'm concerned about the traffic on Beet Creek, and they're talking about, I don't care what the survey said, I went to the bathroom, you know, as we get older, we go to the bathroom a lot, and I can look out my window, and twice, 12 cars went by. Now, I moved there in 86. That was a day. Now, it's the time I go to the bathroom. There's 12. Not once, not twice, but three times. There's nothing I can do. I understand that. But I'm not married to Branson either. I've been here a long, long time. And I can sell and if I have to. I don't want to, but I like my house. I like where I live. It's easy to get out in and out of there. And that's why I moved there, was so I didn't have to deal with traffic. In 86, if you lived out on towards 76, you guys know that it was awful out that way. And now they've got the back roads, the roundways. When they made 65 four lane, we tried to get them to make an outer road there, and the state wouldn't do it, so that we wouldn't have this problem. So that's where I'm at. So I don't care what they put there. I could care less. I'm concerned about the traffic. And it's a nightmare. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side over here? Seeing none, do we want to start on the front of this side? Who's second row? We have anyone, sir?
Yeah, I'm Bobby Beatty. I live at 286, and that joins my 10 acres right there on the east side. No.
Up to the right, correct?
See that? 286, that's mine right there. Where he's talking about draining all that, he's going to run all that, everything's going to go right onto my property. And the other issue I have is, like, people with pets, where they can let their dogs and cats go, their kids are going to be on my property plan. I think it's just going to be a big hassle. I mean, I don't like it. Not in my back, in my front yard.
How do you access your property?
I come in on Wabash. Come down Wabash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I live very end. Then my property goes clear back up over Combs Edition, back side of it.
Because any other comments?
That all slopes off back to there onto my property, and I just don't really, you know, what's it going to do to my property? That's about all I got to say.
All right. Appreciate that. Anyone else on that row?
Hello, I'm Gail Aiton. I live just on the north side of Bobby there. And then I've got the auto service across the road up the street from them. But as I'll be honest with you, I don't know what we're doing here. Commissioner Williams and Sheila Wyatt both turned him down and offered only R1. We were there I don't know how many times. I don't know why this is even back here. But I feel, and now now he's back to wanting two family homes. They just adding more trouble, more fire on, you know, to it.
So actually, Scott, how does how do they get to come back?
So if a zoning change would be on the parcel that surround that, then the area has changed, they could reapply. Or currently we have a 4-month window. 4 months after the county commission makes a decision on a zoning application, the applicant has the ability to reapply. So it's a matter of just, that's zoning regulations read. Yeah. 4 months, is that right or wrong? I don't know. It's something probably to look at. But currently, that's what it is. Yeah. And it's been past the 4 months, so they just make reapplication.
I mean, they've already ruled on it. We've listened to it.
To answer your question, I wanted to have Scott answer that for you so that you're aware. But that's the policy that we have to abide by. So.
I mean, I don't know. We got enough people here tonight, I believe, and we can fill the room up again for the commissioners' meeting. But it's just, this isn't right. I agree with Coach Martin. The traffic's going to be too much. And then I'm sure, we do need some housing in this area. But a little concerned about if you're going to be renting homes instead of getting people in there that actually own them and are going to care about the neighborhood. We've got several of those areas around us, and they don't take care of their neighborhoods. The people that live around this have pride in their property and their homes. You can drive through and see all these people that are right against it take care of their properties. And, it borders me a little bit, and I'm concerned about strays coming on, and I'm not talking just animals, just kids out wandering around or anybody out wandering around that shouldn't be, on your property. You're going to have that with a lot of things, but it's, to me, he was offered R1 and that's all it should be. Yeah. That's about all I can think of right now, unless I think of something else, but I'll give it to someone else to speak.
All right, I appreciate that. Next row, anyone next row signed up? No, next row behind anyone? Anyone else on this side that's signed up? We got one over here.
Tim Davis. I'm an attorney in the area, and I've been before you many times. And one thing I'd like to talk about is how desperately we're short of inexpensive housing in Taney County. Of course, we all know this. And the current zoning is R1. And it'd be great if people could have their own single-family standalone house. I'm sure most people want their own single-family standalone house, but their hourly wages aren't such that they can afford it. If we could mandate that every employer has to pay a higher hourly wage, maybe people are more likely to buy their own single-family standalone house. But the fact is, so many employers don't pay a wage that let people get the house they want. And so we think, well, what are they going to do? Well, maybe they can. Maybe you put people in hotels out on Highway 76, and they pay by the week. Some families, or maybe they live at great distances, or maybe we're just short workers that we otherwise could use. So. Think about where low-income housing can go. We need, to keep the cost down, we need pre-existing infrastructure provided by the government, such as water and sewer. That in itself sharply limits where low-income housing can go because we don't have water and sewer throughout all the county. It's only in certain areas. And you'd like to have that low-income housing somewhere close to that existing infrastructure. Then you'd also like to have roads that are wider, but as we know, most of our roads haven't been built 4-lane. We just got 2-lane, maybe with a shoulder, maybe not with a shoulder. Then again, for low-income housing, you want to be pretty close into town because people might not have vehicles, or they might have one family that's sharing a vehicle. So you want to be pretty close to town. When you impose those limitations, you get down to very few places where you can actually build low-income housing that's going to work. And so I'd like to take that. I realize nobody wants low-income housing next to them, but we could either do without it or put it somewhere. And low-income projects have gotten a lot of heat and pushback. For example, Dan Ruder for years has had the 50 acres down on Fall Creek Road that he's been blocked He wanted to put low-income housing on it. He got some government tax benefits to go with it, but has consistently